It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolfworth. On the first day of school in Anchorage, I guess kids at some of the schools are just getting ready to get out of class here, and others will be heading home soon. Hope everybody had a good, productive first day. From what I hear from Anchorage Superintendent Ed Graff, who's in the studio with us today, sounds like it's gone pretty well. The MatSU Superintendent Dina Paramo is with us too, and they started school last week. And also Commissioner of Education Mike Hanley. And I've asked them all to come because there are a lot of big changes happening in public education in Alaska this year that are going to affect your kids, or maybe affect you if you're an educator, having to do with the standards we use, the assessments, teacher evaluations, testing for kids moving on to the next level. And we're going to talk about all of that today and your questions on Hometown Alaska with the Commissioner of Education and the superintendents of both Anchorage and MatSU. Kind of a dream team panel that we were able to put together today. And I'm sure a lot of listeners will have questions, so I'm going to go ahead and give you those phone numbers now. Go ahead and call in and join the show. In Anchorage, we're at 550-8433. From state outside Anchorage, toll-free 888-353-5752, or you can get us by email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. And as I said, Anchorage Superintendent Ed Graff, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Charles, for having me.
And Dina Paramo from the MatSU School District.
Thank you.
And Commissioner Mike Hanley, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Charles.
So, Commissioner Hanley, we have new standards. We have new assessments for determining if kids are meeting those standards, new teacher evaluation. A lot of changes are happening. Why? What's the philosophy overall behind the changes that you're making in public education?
Charles, the biggest issue we have is making sure that our students are prepared when they leave high school. Graduation isn't the target, but making sure that they're prepared when they graduate for those next steps, whether it's college and career, or colleges or training centers, whatever they choose, that they're ready for that. And we were compelled to answer the concerns that we heard from the military when only 28% of our students were able to qualify to get into the military. From the university system, who said over 50% of our students need some type of remediation in a non-credit-bearing course before they can move on. We felt like we needed to up the rigor and up the expectations and basically change the trajectory for our students so that they're more prepared when they graduate.
So Alaska adopted some new standards. As I understand it, the standards we had were pretty low compared to the rest of the country. And the new Alaska standards are pretty close to the Common Core that are being adopted by states all over the U.S. And I guess Anchorage School District just adopted Common Core. What's the reason behind those standards?
You're right that our old standards were definitely not meeting what our kids needed, as evidenced by what I just mentioned about our students being ready to enter the university system or the next steps after high school. It was important for us to recognize that our kids have to be competitive with their peers. And that's not just our peers in the state. They have to be competitive with their peers around the country to compete for jobs in the state. We have over $2 billion a year go to people who we bring in because we're not finding the employees here. We bring people in and then they take that money back out. So it's important that our kids can compete with those around the country. So when we adopted our new standards and we put together our new standards back in June of 2012, that we compared with what was going on around the country and the Common Core was taking place around the country, we wanted to make sure that our standards equaled in rigor so that our kids could compete.
Let me turn to Superintendent Ed Graff. First of all, congratulations on the first day of school.
Thank you. It's not quite over. We're halfway through.
But, yeah.
So far, so good.
So any news from the schools? Everything sounds like it's going pretty well today?
I think for the start of the school year, it's been a great start. The sun's shining. Students were excited to get back in the classroom. Teachers were there to welcome them. And so a very smooth start to the school day today, and just looking forward to ending it on a positive note as well.
So it sounds like a lot of changes are happening in public education, and we already broached the subject of standards. Anchorage adopted the Common Core a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah, we adopted the Common Core state standards in the spring of 2012.
And what was the reason behind that decision? What brought that about?
Well, it was an interesting process. At the time, the state had just released some preliminary standards that they were wanting districts and educators to look at, and we had a pretty extensive team review those standards. And at the same time, we had board members who were inquiring about the Common Core state standards, and merging those two things together, the conversation became, you know, we saw a benefit as the largest district in the state to partner with other districts outside of Alaska to review those Common Core state standards. And the more discussion we had about it and where the state was at the time, we felt like it was the right transition for us to undertake, having access to professional development, other organizations, as I mentioned, as well as we have a number of educators who come into our district outside and having access to those Common Core state standards. And again, the transient population that we have in Anchorage as well, we thought it would be a great opportunity for us to be able to use consistent measurements to evaluate how our students are progressing.
So what happens with kids in the classroom? What's different from them under these new standards? And they cover not every subject area, right?
They're English language arts and math standards right now that we have adopted. I think the first important message is that ASD students are expected to demonstrate proficiency on the state standards, just as the rest of everyone else in Alaska. So although we have the Common Core state standards, we're expecting our students to be proficient on the state standards. And what we've done is we've taken both the state standards and the Common Core state standards, and we've crosswalked those and found, you know, the areas where they are not similar, we've embedded that into what we have developed called academic plans. And those are developed by teachers based on the standards and lessons and units of focus and study. So we've had a lot of professional development on ensuring that we have the material being presented to the students just as it would be if they were the state standards. But again, the difference is that we have access to additional resources. If you go onto our website, we have a parent portal, and you can click on academic plans. We have that for kindergarten through 12th grade in English language arts and mathematics, and other areas as well are continuing to be developed. But it's a great resource. There are also parent roadmaps, which give parents strategies for working with their children on learning the different standards. So that's what's helpful for parents. As far as what we've been doing for teachers, you know, this will be the third year of implementing the standards. So we're still in the early phases, I believe, of standard implementation. But we've done a lot of training and getting our teachers to really delve into the standards, develop lessons around those standards, making sure they see the sequencing of them, and also talking about how that changes their pedagogy, their instructional practices. And that's a huge piece of what we're focusing on this year is the engagement of our students and our teachers. And it's not just what you're teaching, but how you teach it.
Mm-hmm. Dina Paremo, as the superintendent of MATSU, slightly different from Anchorage, because Anchorage adopted the Common Core, I think, before the state standards were even completed, whereas you are just living to the state standards, which have been imposed upon the district. How do you feel about the standards? Do you feel like they're going the right direction, wrong direction, or what's your overall sense of them?
Yeah, actually, our curriculum groups, the minimum is the Alaska state standards, but we also have MATSU standards that are combined, adding a little bit of our local flair and interests of our community. It's exciting times, and they are just good. And we have asked ourselves, if this wasn't imposed, or what is it still good for kids? And it absolutely is. It just raises that rigor. I'd like to follow up on what Anchorage said as well. It really is that the standards are kind of the table stakes. That's what's going to happen in your classroom. But what we're excited about is learning about innovative ways to deliver the curriculum. In our society, content is free. If anybody has a smartphone, the internet, from Khan Academy to Botangle and MOOCs, massive open online curriculum and courses, that's all free now. And what mm-hmm. public schools have, I believe, we need to move beyond that content with engagement and then positive relationships with kids. And so we're really challenging our staff not just to increase and the rigor through the standards, but also to challenge themselves to think of innovative ways for which kids are learning, you know, that that net generation, they call them, find out ways, how are we going to engage them in our classes so that every day the kids see the classroom as the best place for them to be. We want the human experience to be empowering for kids and to for them to continue learning, because it really isn't about, as the commissioner said, what they learn for us. I mean, the definition of commencement is beginning. So we need to ensure that that graduation is beginning for the rest of their lives, to be able to not have a glass ceiling on their abilities.
So you mentioned that the new standards are more rigorous. What kind of challenges have you run into, if any, in sort of upping the game in the classroom? And I think, you know, some math concepts are coming to the kids at a younger age. Has there been any transitional issues in terms of bringing the kids up to a higher level?
There is, just in the expectations of believing what kids can do. But in time and time again, expectations of our students, whether it's in the classroom, on a court, in a debate team, when you raise the expectations, kids come to them. And of course, it's not just, we're here to prepare them as well and to support them. And so we have the supports necessary. But interestingly enough, a lot of the changes, say in mathematics with early grades, is ensuring those simple things that we've learned all the time about the multiplication, division, those basic skills are what is going to carry them through that beginning stages so that they're going to be able to learn. So we always talk about the earlier grades of learning to read so they can read to learn. That's what it's about. I'd say the high school, the major changes, and Dr. McCulley at the department does a great job of talking about this, is, and I believe industry is going to be highly interested in this. A lot of work that our high schools have done with students has really been in fictional work. And the biggest infusion, I would say, or a change in high school work, is to add non-fictional work and actual technical reading and technical writing more into the curriculum, which is going to benefit kids when they leave us. The Gallup poll just recently came out that the number one reason why kids seek education is for a better job. And so we can say we want to have a more educated populace, but there is a sense that industry is asking for more skills when kids leave us.
Mm-hmm. It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth, and we're talking about education today on the first day of school in Anchorage. And I didn't give you a chance, Dina Paramo, to talk about how the first day of school went in that suit. So how, I know you've been in school for a few days yet, but how have things gone with the new school year?
This is our fifth day, and woo-woo, we're having a great time. We started very strong going around. We did some in-service called Capturing Kids' Hearts, and it's really working on that relational capacity with kids, having them feel like they belong in their school, respected and part of the decision-making, as well as letting them know that we believe that students should be the hardest workers in their education, and so really supporting them in the work that they need to do to achieve their goals. So it's been great, really great.
All right, excellent. So in an event, Hometown Alaska, Charles Wolforth and Dina Paramo from Mat-Su School District, Anchorage, Ed Graff, and Commissioner of Education, Mike Hanley. And we welcome your calls and questions. You've got sort of the educational leaders for the vast majority of the kids in Alaska here in the studio, and your questions are germane. The number here is 550. I'm going to put my glasses back on. 8433-550-8433. If you're calling from outside Anchorage, you can get us toll-free at 888-353-5752 or email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So I guess a couple of different things are driving these changes, Commissioner Hanley. There's the No Child Left Behind waiver. No Child Left Behind, I guess, is still the law of the land, but in order to get out of some of the provisions, the state had to file a waiver and say we were going to do certain things. And then there was also HB 278 that passed this year that made some other changes. And so the list of things that are new or different coming from both of these is a pretty long list, including the standards, the assessments. I want to talk more about new teacher evaluation systems, new funding, different tests for students leaving the school system. And you're kind of implementing all of this at once. I mean, do you agree that it's a time of just tremendous change in public education?
Absolutely it is. If I had control of context, we would have been very intentional about spreading this work out. But there's a sense of urgency in getting it done. You're right in regards to the No Child Left Behind waiver. We've been waiting for reauthorization of that act, the ESEA Act, Elementary and Secondary Education Act, from Congress for many years now, and it has not risen off the back burner for Congress. And so in lieu of that, we were able to get away from some of the most onerous parts of that. There are things about No Child Left Behind that were good, help us focus on a trajectory and connecting grade level to grade level. But now the measure of progress on that is kind of, it's erroneous. And so we were able to get a waiver from that. We put in a new accountability system for our schools rather than saying that essentially they're all failing, which is what No Child Left Behind would say at this point, that we are rating them on a 1 to 5 star scale and not just measuring proficiency, but growth and attendance and graduation rate, trying to produce a more honest model and an honest reflection of how our schools are doing.
One of the ideas behind No Child Left Behind is if a school didn't get a certain grade, the kids could be bused to a different school, or there might be the school might be taken over by somebody else. Is that stuff all gone away? The idea that, you know, if the school doesn't meet a certain standard, the parents have a right to choose some other school, and there were a bunch of those sort of enforcement provisions.
That's correct, and that was a mandate under No Child Left Behind. It's not a mandate under our current system. What we found was places like Anchorage and the Mat-Su typically had that ability to bus their students to other schools if their schools were deemed failing. But most of our rural schools weren't able to do that anyway. So it didn't apply to them. It's still an option if districts choose to go that route, but we didn't mandate it in the new system.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the biggest changes that students and parents are going to see, I think, is a different set of testing. You call them assessments, but most people think of them as standardized tests. And that you've had the standards-based assessment for many, many years that I think all parents are accustomed to by now. And maybe there are other tests that we do during the year. I guess the high school graduating exam is going away. And then, as I understand it, this year, kids will be able to, who are leaving high school, instead of taking that graduating exam, will be able to take the SAT, the ACT or work keys, and the state will pay for that for one testing. So that's going to be something that people really have to get used to. That's a big change. Tell us, if you would, Commissioner, about the new assessment, the new standardized assessment that everybody's going to take. Which grade levels will take it, and how will it differ from the ones that they used to take?
The one similarity between the new assessment and the old one is this: it's designed to assess what we're teaching our kids and how our kids are doing moving towards proficiency in those standards. So that's the thing that's the same. The thing that's different is, as we change standards, now we need to change the assessment to measure proficiency towards the new standards. So we test what we teach, and that's different than teaching what we test. So we have set the expectations, the standards that we want our school districts to aim our students towards, that we believe are going to move kids towards proficiency and readiness and preparedness. And now this new assessment is going to assess on those new standards. The biggest difference, aside from measuring higher levels to match our higher levels of rigor in our new standards, the biggest difference is it's going to be online. And it's going to move us into the 21st century, and it's going to do a couple things for us that I think are hugely tremendous. Eventually, this is going to be what we call an adaptive test. This simply means that if a student gets a question right, they'll go in one direction on the test for the next question. If they get a question wrong, they'll go in a different direction. So it gives us a better understanding of what their true needs are and what their strengths are. It also is going to give us feedback much quicker. Currently with our, or previously with our SBA assessment, we didn't get those assessments back, those scores back, until the end of the year. So that year's teacher really didn't have the opportunity to use that data to help their students for the last month or two of school. We anticipate getting the results back in the week or two from these, if not sooner, so that we can use that data to inform the decision to the local level. I think it's going to be a huge value for us moving to this model, and yet testing online or testing with computers is going to be a huge change as well.
So every kid will be sitting at a computer monitor while taking the test, essentially.
Correct. And I will say this.
Are there enough computers to do that? Oh, the superintendents are smiling, nodding. We'll ask them that.
Well, what we have done is we've changed the testing window. So we've extended that window so that everybody doesn't have to test at the exact same time. So instead of 1 week of testing, we're going to extend it to about a month. And there are parameters and there are guidelines for districts to use on how it'll work for their district.
So there are enough questions that they can't cheat or get the answers from somebody else.
Correct.
I see.
Correct. But for instance, we may a school district may say, we're only going to test third and fourth graders this week, fifth and sixth graders next week. So we would anticipate groups of kids will be testing at the same time. A separate group of kids, a separate grade level, will teach at a different time. So there won't be that opportunity, I don't anticipate, of passing answers on. We still want this test to be valid and reliable. But by extending that window, we don't have to have 500 computers in a building to happen all at one time.
Well, let me turn to Superintendent Ed Graff from the Anchorage School District. What kind of impacts do you expect this new test to have in moving to the new test on kids and parents in Anchorage?
Well, I want to just restate what Commissioner Hanley mentioned, and that is, you know, for us, this is our third year of implementing the Common Core State Standards, and students are going to be tested on the Alaska standards, most definitely. But what is also important to note is that with these new standards come new assessments, and we'll have new baselines. So we will not have the benefit of being able to say, here's what you received for your score this year, and let's compare that to last year. Two completely different assessments, two different forms of standards. And so trying to move forward and getting people to realize that and acknowledge that. But ultimately, we want our students, regardless of what type of assessment it is, whether it's a screening, a measurement, or this new system, to accurately reflect their knowledge and the specific skill. So with that, you know, we're committed to ensuring that this goes smoothly. We've also looked at, with the technology component, you know, many of our students are digital natives, and we know that even though they come from that background, they still have skills and areas of need with utilizing technology that we need to focus on. So just like we have a handwriting without tears, you know, a handwriting curriculum, we've adopted a keyboarding without tears for our second, third, and fourth grade students. So we're implementing that, and we know that we won't see the direct benefit of that, perhaps.
So you need to teach them to use the keyboard so they can take the test.
Yeah, there's manipulation on the assessment, you know, where they have to drop and drag and click, and we want to make sure that those technical challenges don't impact their ability to demonstrate their actual knowledge of the standards. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing we're focused on. Another is making sure that we have our scheduling set up so that students have access in a very user-friendly kind of environment. And when you've got a large school, you know, such as East High School with 2,000 students, how do you get access to your technology in a structured way that does not shut down the whole school for a number of days? And so we're working through that right now with our plan.
Well, that seems like a lot of headaches I hadn't really thought of. Yeah, I mean, what if the computer freezes and all that stuff?
Right, so we're working through that, testing the platforms as much as possible. I know we have a number of staff who've been working with the Department of Education and trying to do some of those practice assessments, if you will. So just trying to coordinate that. And the big piece for parents to know is that we have that block already set up. The information is on our website. When we are going to, I guess, what we have established as our testing window, third and seventh grade will be from March 30th to April 10th. Fourth and eighth will be April 6th through April 17th. Fifth and ninth from April 13th through April 24th. And then sixth and 10th will be April 20th through May 1st. So they can see for their child there's a block when they will be given their assessments. And so that's, but the details we're still working through with the individual schools, and our IT staff is working closely with our assessment and evaluation staff to make sure that we, again, minimize as much as possible any of those logistical challenges, those technology challenges, so that students can actually get a true reflection of what their knowledge is.
Mm-hmm. So if a parent is thinking right now, oh my gosh, you've got new standards that are tougher and you're throwing a new test at my kid, what are the, and the computer might crash, you've never done it before, what are the consequences for my kid if he or she doesn't do well on the test?
Well, I don't want to minimize the importance of the assessments that we have, but we, you know, this is one data point that we're going to be looking at. We also have universal screening, which happens over the course of the year, where we identify, you know, how a student is progressing on based on a specific skill, and we monitor that, and then we do another assessment in the fall, and then one in the spring. So we're constantly using data to evaluate the progress of our students. And ultimately, what the AMP system will do is compare, I guess, or give students an understanding of where they are in relation to the standards over that 1 year of time for that grade level. So we have
One piece of information among many.
One piece of information.
Yeah. And Mike,
can I just jump in for 1 second, Charles? And I'd like to reiterate what Superintendent Graff had said and to emphasize the fact that this isn't a high-stakes exam. Teachers really understand their children are more than a set of data points on one assessment. So although we anticipate the scores will drop on this coming assessment because the bar has been raised, it doesn't suddenly mean that your child is going to be retained. This is only one piece of the picture. Teachers, school districts, administrators, they know that this child is more than one assessment. And so I want to emphasize that it's not a high-stakes exam that will suddenly put students in peril.
All right.
And that's in comparison to the HSGQE, which was that you had to pass that for a diploma. That's what we mean by high stakes. There isn't a consequence.
So, Dina Paramo, Superintendent of Mat-Su Schools, give us anything that you want to say about implementation of the assessments. And I'm sure it's somewhat different from Anchorage.
We have about 18,000 students, so we're only about a third of the size. But given that, we have 45 schools, and the majority of them are hooked up to fiber, and we have one school on microwave. So in looking at the logistics, we are pretty well set. This test is called the Alaska
Measures of Progress.
But however, Mat-Su for the last 8 years has done the Measures of Academic Progress, which is a very similar test that is dynamic, as the commissioner mentioned, that you assess and it moves. For 8 years, we've been assessing students with computers in our school. So part of the assessment, just so parents understand, is these are smart tools. And so they can tell if students are picking things, say primary kids, young kids, inadvertently to select, that they actually go through some motor skill testing as part of the test to see how they're answering. And it doesn't move on unless they're for sure. Mat-Su also, in our primary schools, we install touchscreens. So all of our kids, the majority of them in primary, are just going to touch and move. The testers and the people who design these things are experts at it. So the idea of a machine's going to shut down, we've had that happen already. It saves the data. You can log back on and it goes back on. So of course, with any new implementation, there's going to be difficulty. But I would have confidence that school districts have been utilizing these tools already. It is actually not that new anywhere else in the country. And so and our folks at the in Juneau have assured us, whether you live in Bush, Alaska, or the biggest city here, Anchorage, we're going to support you and we're going to find ways. And, you know, Bush, Alaska, their Band-Aid to the system might be a cached service where it's on a local server, not bandwidth on an enterprise system. And so the idea that this might change, and I had mentioned it, it might start to change our school calendars. We're looking at, we had to start school so early because we couldn't get the assessments back before the end of the year. Since we have a longer window, Mat-Su's system might change. We're starting to talk about changing our calendar to starting school after Labor Day. And so not everything negative is coming because of change. Change is exciting. I like to say, like a tree, if a tree stops growing, it's dying. And public education needs to continue to grow.
Yeah. Hey, we have a caller. Leah is calling with a question about testing. Leah?
Well, actually, you kind of just answered it, because my kids are in Mat-Su and they've done MAP testing. I've always found it as a parent more valuable than the SBA, but I have to say I am absolutely appalled at the level of standards and have felt consistently that they've been dumbed down. I just, you know, I think the expectations are way too low. And what I'm seeing in my kids' curriculum is they've come up through that school district is at least 2 years behind where I was at the same time. And I'm appalled at where our education system is. And I don't think we're making progress fast enough. And I am not at all convinced that the leadership in the schools understand how to do it. I just am not impressed.
All right. Well, let me get a response to that. Dina Paramo, one of your parents from Mat-Su, do you want to respond?
Well, we're going to take that feedback and look at those. We have a new math program this year, as well as language, and stepping up those standards. We want kids to compete with their peers. That's one of the reasons why we went to MAP, because it's normed with 20 million children around the whole United States and actually internationally. And so that assessment really lets us know where are our students in the mix of people around the world. We want to improve and we want to get better, and it's a process, and we'll take the feedback of where we're falling short and improve and change it.
All right.
Well, I honestly think you guys need to look at Sitka's Sound Edgecombe. You know, if you want to really improve, you've got to do process improvement. And I see none of it happening at a leadership level or empowering the teachers to do that. And as you said, the best people to evaluate where their students are the students. So if a teacher says they can pass that class and they're competent in that curriculum, that should be enough. You shouldn't have to go to mass quantities of these standardized tests.
Okay,
that's
thanks, Leah.
That's why you have educated professionals teaching these classes.
Thanks, Leah. That's a good comment.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk. I actually have to run, but
I appreciate your calling.
And I'm finding this interesting.
Good. We're gonna take a break here in a moment and come back and look forward to more calls. I'll be giving out the phone numbers when we get back from our short break. We're talking about a lot of changes in public education that are taking place with standards, new tests, new teacher evaluation, No Child Left Behind being waived. And kids are back in school in Anchorage today, and we're back in Mat-Su last week. So we've got Superintendent Ed Graff from Anchorage in the studio, Mat-Su Superintendent Dina Paramo, and also Commissioner of Education Mike Hamley in the studio. We'll hear much more from them in the second half and your calls when Hometown Alaska continues.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 9 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth, and our topic today is public schools. School started today in Anchorage. Probably a lot of kids are just finishing up or will be soon and headed home. Started last week in Mat-Su. And so we've got the superintendents from Anchorage and Mat-Su, Ed Graff of Anchorage and Dina Paramo of Mat-Su in the studio, as well as Commissioner of Education Mike Hanley. And we welcome your calls and comments. Anything you want to ask about our schools is on the table. And you can call right here at the studio or send an email. The phone number, if you're in Anchorage, is 550-8433, 550-8433. Statewide, it's 888-353-5752. And email is a great way to get on the air. I read those questions when they come in. hometown@alaskapublic.org. And one of the changes, Commissioner Hanley, is new evaluation of teachers. And I know that's probably causing a lot of concern among teachers. What does this mean exactly? What's behind that? And just if you can give us the thumbnail of how that's going to work and how it could affect schooling.
You bet. I don't know that the evaluation of teachers will be directly be able to be seen by parents or students. Actually, it will be by students, because the goal behind this is to improve education, improve the quality of our educators. I think they're doing a great job now, but as Superintendent Paramo said, we need to continue to grow and continue to improve. Currently, or previously, the teachers had 8 standards that they were evaluated on. One was changed, and that was to include student learning as a part of that. So beginning in 2016, student learning, basically, from beginning of the year to the end of the year, how much did a student grow, will be a part of a teacher's evaluation. I think that's a valuable measurement. I think when we describe a good teacher, I don't think we can do it without saying how much they taught a child. So that's the biggest component. The challenge for us right now that we all recognize is making sure that we do that well, making sure that we don't erroneously speak to things that are outside of a teacher's control. If a student isn't able to make it to school, or if there's a tragedy in the family, that shouldn't fall back on a teacher's evaluation. So we're working through those issues now to make sure that we're providing honest evaluations on how our teachers are doing.
Mm-hmm. And let's quickly go through the two superintendents about how these evaluations will work in each of the districts. And I guess more particularly, how will the evaluation be used? I mean, how will it affect, what will be the outcome of the evaluation?
Well, our focus with the new evaluation system is really about making sure that we provide students with high quality instruction. And so that's the reason, the rationale behind all of this. Excuse me. So what we're doing is we're working through our professional development with teachers and talking about their current instructional practices and evidence-based ways to improve students' performance and engagement. And that's what we're spending a great deal of our professional learning trainings about with teachers as well as administrators, making sure all of our administrators understand what good teaching practices look like, how to notice that, how to record that information, and then how to expand or improve the practice of the teachers. As well as already mentioned, the student feedback is critical to that. I do believe through this process, you will see a change in how teachers are delivering their instruction, and students will feel that too in the way they interact in the classroom.
So it's mostly a tool like your assessments you're giving to students to figure out where is a teacher have a weak area that needs to be helped, as opposed to a poor evaluation and you might get fired. A lot of people's jobs, evaluation determines whether they get a raise or whether they get fired, but that's not going to be the way it works here.
I think those are always elements for consideration, but our focus, you know, what we're starting with is making sure that the teachers really understand how they're going to be able to move the needle with student learning. And that's the ultimate goal here. And through this process, I'm confident that, we'll see those results happen for our kids.
And Matsu, how are you doing it and what kind of consequences?
Well, we are rolling it in. We're mm-hmm. quite excited about it. And it really is an opportunity to give feedback and to reflect on practice. And the caller that called in about Matsu, I took that she was confident in the teacher's ability to teach a child. But the goal here is to ensure that when a child's in school a year, they're at least learning a year. And if they're behind, then we need to have some catch-up growth. Interestingly enough, a part of our student population that we find that sometimes don't grow a year are our brightest kids because we're not challenging them enough. And these data will give us, and another data that we use, give us opportunity to say, are kids growing a year for a year if they're spending time with us?
And that relates to teacher evaluation?
Well, their assessment, their growth, as you see.
Is the teacher helping provide that growth?
Correct.
I see.
So what we need to do, and these assessments will help us, what are we teaching them what they don't know and moving forward and moving beyond what they already do know? And mm-hmm. so a year for year is really what we want to guarantee. And again, that top quartile was, interestingly enough, the one we learned the most about in Matsu when we started implementing these assessments. I want folks to know that it's really a way to improve. It's not an imposition. We need to, and teachers discuss with each other, how did you get that outcome with this child when I couldn't in this class? How are you teaching? And so it's a matter of holding ourselves accountable in a collaborative way to move forward. Because we do say we're going to school to learn so that we can achieve our goals. And we need to monitor that. When you go out and buy a product or buy a car or decide to go to a college or university, you're looking at those data that inform your decisions. And what we want student data to do is to inform decisions of teachers. Mm-hmm. And so we hope that, and like I said before, one test is not, or one number doesn't define a child, and it doesn't define a teacher either. Just like my weight, I'm overweight. My weight doesn't define me. There's lots of other things about me, but you know what? It's an indicator of my health, and mm-hmm. so it is something we pay attention to. But it's not everything. And learning for the child and moving forward is what we're focused on. And it takes teachers to know where they are with kids mm-hmm. To assist us with that. But it's not a gotcha. It's not a catcha. It's let's improve because our kids in the classrooms deserve excellent instruction every day.
All right. Let's go to a call from Mike. Mike, did you have a comment or a question?
Sure do. I've heard plenty about standards and testing. But one thing I haven't heard, and also about how to turn students into good workers that business can use, but I haven't heard a thing about what I thought was one of the goals of public education, was to turn out young men and women who will be good citizens. Where is that? Are we just turning people into workers?
Commissioner, do you want to take that one first? Citizenship and developing the citizens of the future.
You bet. I sure can. And in the midst of conversations around standards, academics, how we assess, the data points, we oftentimes don't talk about that, but it doesn't mean that it's not addressed. I know that every school and every school district, and I taught for 15 years in the Anchorage School District, every classroom inherently, while they're teaching the academics, they're addressing citizenship, how to work together, how to be a citizen not only of your classroom, but of your larger school community, how to be a citizen of your larger community. And schools are doing that with their parents as well. So you're right. I appreciate the fact that this is brought up, because we do get caught up speaking about these things. But even though we're not speaking about it, it's critical to what we're teaching our children.
Dina?
Yeah, and actually, that's a good point. Our school board, a couple years ago, it's mandatory, a civics class, if you will, as well. I mean, just if we want to talk explicit instruction about civics and really financial literacy as part of being a good citizen as well, and user of goods and taking care of our economy, our environment, our homes, our health. So that is kind of the things that are sometimes you can't touch with a number, what you're doing, but they're certainly involved in the not just the content, but in the engagement of kids and then the relationships of kids to do good work. So our service clubs in from elementary on is involved in citizenry. We actually had school when elections were going on yesterday, and lots of community folks in schools and lots of schools taking advantage of the efforts to teach kids about our democracy through real life authentic actions.
Mike, is that a good answer?
I loved it. Thanks.
All right.
Charles, could I add a little bit from the Anchorage School District
mm-hmm.
as well? I want to thank Mike for raising this issue as well. This is a huge area of focus for the Anchorage School District and has been for a number of years. You know, we're committed to what he described, we call social-emotional learning, and it's really our board adopted 15 standards that we have had in place for many, many years now. And what you're seeing is not only the community service, but the civics engagement and the employability skills in our students. And that's modeled in many cases by our teachers. But we definitely want well-rounded students who have strong academic proficiency, good citizenship. You know, they're our neighbors, they're our business leaders. These are the people we have living next to us and working around us. And so absolutely the importance and value of community service and working collaboratively is what we're all about.
All right. So let's go to another call. Kelly is calling with a question or comment about Common Core standards. Kelly?
Yeah, so thank you. That just segues nicely. As Mr. Graff has said, I didn't know anything about the 15 standards that were established by the Anchorage School District Board. My question was, are the districts embracing this Common Core? Is it in? Is it out? What are we using as a guideline for our content and standards at this time?
Yeah, and let's broaden that out, because since we addressed it a little bit earlier, and one of the current concerns about having standards that come from, you know, that these were developed nationally and then adopted at a statewide level and so forth, is that if the standards only address math and English, what about everything else? Does that mean that we're not doing as much on science or on art, on all these other areas? And who wants to take that one first?
Certainly. I mean, if we just look at our the state standards for student to graduate, of course, there's lots of other coursework for which a child needs to pass. In fact, in order to qualify for the performance scholarship, whether that's at a technical school or a college, it's based around the four square, which is four social studies, four sciences, four math, and four English language arts. So the schools and actually the state language really does speak to all of those skills. But again, I believe the standards, and I don't want standards assessments for every single subject, because I really think that our local school districts can make those decisions to educate kids. So as far as MATSU is concerned, we use the Alaska standards to be sure that our math and language are rigorous, that kids have the ability and the skills needed to do everything else they want. They are basically, you can look at those as baseline skills that when I can compute, I can think mathematically, I can read, I can think critically through literacy, then I'm able to do lots of other things. And so our coursework in our schools has not narrowed because the standards are only in two subjects. I'm happy that they're only in two subjects. Let's keep them there so that we can move beyond that in our local district environments to educate kids, not only in what the community finds important, but also what kids themselves are seeing moving into. And that's what we're trying to focus on in MATSU, is that a lot of the things that we have in our subjects that we have kids in now, say even for electives and how we teach, aren't necessarily what the kids are going to meet when they leave us. And so we're really trying to focus on what's the next step when for them to be successful at their next step.
Well, Commissioner Hanley, maybe you could address it as well. One of the criticisms of standards has been that they tend to narrow instruction. There's this teach to the test idea that you've got the standard, that's all the kid needs to learn to make sure they pass the test. And so that all these other things are lost. That kind of dovetails with the other criticism, which is it takes away too much local control. Local communities would like to make their decisions about what the content is. What percentage of the day do you think is taken up with just what they're studying on the standards? I mean, is it like a third of the day? Is it 80%? I mean, do you have a sense of that, of where that should be?
Let me use a synonym for standards, and that's expectations. What do we have set for goals for our children? And I would hope that a good portion of the day is set with our goals, whether it's in social, emotional learning components, citizenry, math, language arts, science, that we have targets so that they're prepared for the next step, whether it's the next grade level or the next step beyond high school. So a good portion of the day is set with those, some type of expectation.
In mathematics and language arts, but then we've also got science and social studies and all these other areas.
The skills on the assessments mm-hmm. is they have to read and synthesize information. I'm mm-hmm. going to do that in social studies. I'm going to do that in math, and I'm going to do that in science. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do it in my art class mm-hmm. because I'm going to study these artists and synthesize the information. And so the standards are those core skills, if you will, to be able to do everything else. So it doesn't only happen with English teachers. It happens with all of our teachers, those standards.
If I could add to that, Charles, just taking social studies in particular, we know we have our standards in English language arts, mathematics, and science. The social studies component, we do have basic concepts that are covered at every grade level in the Anchorage School District. For example, second grade is about Anchorage, so students learn about Anchorage. And infused in there, we have our social emotional learning skills, we have our English language arts standards that they're focusing on. But what they're getting is a rich understanding of their local community. So we have the ability to individualize that or make it more meaningful to our students. And most recently, what we did is we took and developed a second grade reader in the Anchorage School District, and we just put it onto an ebook system. So it's a digital learning text right now that if you go onto iTunes, you can purchase a second grade reader for a student, and I just downloaded a copy myself, and I tell you, it is interactive, it's very innovative, and it's real about Anchorage. It's got great information on the Anchorage community, but that's a perfect example of how, yes, we have the Common Core State Standards, but we're still able to implement curricular materials or instructional materials that are individualized or unique to our school district.
All right. It's Hometown Alaska. I'm Charles Wolforth, and we're talking about public schools at this beginning of the school year. That was Anchorage Superintendent Ed Graff. We also have MATSU Superintendent Dina Paramo in the studio and Commissioner of Education Mike Hanley. And we probably have time for one more call before we're done. The phone number here is 550-8433. That's 550-8433. If you're outside Anchorage, it's 888-353-5752. And you can email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So one change that's happened this year, Commissioner Hanley, is there's no more high school graduating exam, which was something that I guess was set at a fairly easy level. Most students in Anchorage and MATSU didn't have any difficulty passing it, even way before, like in 10th grade. Some did, and there were some issues with students with disabilities. In any event, that's all history. That's gone. Quick question, students who are unable to pass it, is there any way they can recover and get a high school diploma now if they passed it, they failed it in the past, or is that just sort of just the way it is?
With the new legislation mm-hmm. in HB 278, the students can now, if they they met all the other graduation requirements but were unable to pass the high school graduation qualifying exam, they can retroactively come back to their district, come back to their school, and get their diploma. So it is no longer a requirement, and that's retroactive for students who have met all the other requirements.
Right.
And schools actually and districts, we actually queried that information and have contacted those people to come back, and we're going to do a celebration to allow them to get that. But yeah.
So I don't want to go too far down the sort of the questions of the past, but is this a failed experiment? I mean, is this something that was tried and didn't really meet the expectations of what it was hoped to be done?
When the HSGQE, when that exam was put in place, it was the only measurement we had on how our students were doing on their proficiency. And it really met the target for what it needed to do at the time. Since then, we have built up a system of measurements and assessments, the SBAs. You heard Dr. Paramo speak about the MAP assessment. We've got a lot of other ways to identify student proficiency now, and it basically met the need when it was in place, and it's no longer needed. We've built up a system around it, and now it's time to remove that.
And now students can take the SAT or the ACT, which are the college sort of qualifying exams, or WorkKeys, and that'll be paid for by at least one administration per year by the state. What is WorkKeys for those who don't know?
WorkKeys is a measurement to show your proficiency towards a particular career. So you'll get a score, and it'll say, actually three scores, and it'll say on there, these are the types of scores that are needed for these types of careers. So a student can come out of there saying, oh, I could do this or this, or it gives them some ideas around that.
Yes?
Want to, another assessment that we use that's used by our University of Alaska system is called the AccuPlacer. And it's basically the assessment that they use to place students in their courses. And a couple years ago, we opened up a middle college, and I'm just going to share this, that it is a way for us to really improve. So we have 100 kids at this middle college that take classes on campus. But we're also kind of going there as scouts and spies because they take that AccuPlacer after 10th grade for us to place them into college courses to get dual credit. And we found that about 80% of our kids can pass the language part and go right into a college class right after their 10th grade year, less than 10% in math. Those are data that demonstrate that kids take that were for their placements that we're saying, why aren't we achieving the success in math that we are in language? And so we're going back and figuring that out. So we actually use, so the SAT and ACT are assessments that university uses that are going to add benefit more so to us to really channel what the changes that we need to real life accomplishments that kids get. And it happens with the AccuPlacer as
well. So do the school
districts
then have results from the SAT? If the kid takes the SAT paid for the state, the district has those results?
We actually already do now.
Oh, you do? Okay. Mm-hmm. How will you be implementing that at Anchorage School District?
Well, again,
do you expect everybody to be sitting for the SAT?
Yeah, we're working through that again because of the number of students that we have. It's, it's something we have to work closely with the actual company who does the administration of it. And so we'll probably have many of our teachers signed up to be proctors and don't have the specifics of it this time. But, you know, as Dr. Paramo mentioned as well, we are working with the local university, UAA, to try and bridge that gap for continuing education for our students. One of the things that we're really excited about is we've articulated our agreements with courses now that where students can get graduation credit and also receive university credit. So definitely excited about continuing that pathway for our students, not only with the industry certification opportunities we have, but also post-secondary education. And I think this just will reinforce those opportunities for kids.
So will the SAT, ACT be given during school hours then?
Both, yes, during school hours as well as on weekends.
On Saturdays as well. Okay. Here's a question that's come in via email. I'm disappointed in the lack of foreign language options. At my daughter's high school, selection of foreign languages by lottery. My daughter really enjoyed French last year and now won't be continuing. Speaking a second language should be considered critical if we want our students to be competitive. Can you please comment? No doubt it. For a lot of top colleges, you need to have 4 years of foreign language.
Yep.
Superintendent Graf?
So I would guess this is probably one of our parents because we had some challenges last year with our world language program offerings. And what we found is that many of our teachers who were teaching a subject such as French were also a language arts teacher. And when we had you know, looking at schedules and what we had to prioritize, we had to have language arts classes. And so they didn't have that opportunity anymore to offer that elective in that specific area. It is something we're having a discussion about, looking at really understanding what our offerings are, trying to articulate our K-12 alignment and those pathways for students. We cannot offer everything. We're having some current discussions around, is there a way to do more online, perhaps synchronized or asynchronized opportunities for kids to take world languages? You know, you don't have to be at your home location. You're taking it through some online system. You know, and it's just a matter of what language people want. That's always a challenge as well, finding the instructors and then ensuring that we have a very well-defined pathway of offering for kids.
Is there a funding issue there? I know that we lost some counselors a couple of years ago, quite a few counselors from the high schools, and there was a reduction in foreign languages a couple of years ago because of, I guess, state funding not keeping up with inflation. There was more money allocated this year, but, I mean, it's a complex subject, but some of it was offered from the legislature within the formula funding and some outside, and I know the Anchorage District decided not to use some of that funding for ongoing expenses. Are you facing just a difficulty in terms of funding and continuing some of these programs?
Well, when we do our budget forecast, you know, we're looking at roughly a $20 to $21 million deficit every year, which matches the inflation cost. So, you know, we have to look at that. We have to look at what our resources are, and we have to look at how best to utilize those resources. And a lot of challenging conversations are coming forward, you know, if there's not going to be a change to how we are getting our funding, or if we're not going to have additional increase coming in, we're going to have to really take a look at where we're prioritizing our resources. And definitely we value world languages, we value music and fine arts, and want to make sure that we can provide those opportunities for students, but maybe how we deliver that is going to have to change.
And we're kind of wrapping up, but can you address any impacts you're having in MATSU in terms of funding?
If you want to talk about foreign language, that is a course for which sometimes it's actually difficult to find mm-hmm. staffing to teach foreign language. And then the interests of students of what language they want to learn. We've mm-hmm. had lots of requests for Mandarin Chinese. We now offer our languages, a lot of our languages, especially the ones that aren't as popular with the, you know, Spanish is one. Mm-hmm. We have a Spanish immersion school. We have Japanese in our schools. But we offer them online with our teachers with, so they're hearing mm-hmm. it all the time. We actually offer it through AP courses too. And the kids are passing those College Board tests at the same rate, having that blended type learning. It's something that kids like to do, and we really need to figure that out and, mm-hmm. and harness some of those resources we have to continue to offer those high quality education yeah. that we promise our communities.
And as we finish up here, I want to turn to Commissioner Hanley for some final words. I guess there's some online resources you want to let people know about. And if you have any final comments in the last few seconds as we finish up here. Yeah.
Thank you, Charles. I appreciate the opportunity to come and speak today. And I would like to mention, because standards are forefront for a lot of us, and especially for our students right now, to really understand what our students are being expected to learn, we've got a couple of resources on our website. It's education.alaska.gov, education.alaska.gov. And you can click on the parents and community, and there'll be a link there that says, what will my children learn this year? And it'll have parent guides and tips, as well as the actual standards that children will be learning.
Great. Well, thanks so much for being with us, Alaska Commissioner of Education Mike Hanley, Anchorage Superintendent Ed Graff, MATSU Superintendent Dina Paramo. Went really fast. A lot of information to cover, but I think we learned a lot, so that's good. I'm Charles Wolforth. Our producer is Monica Gokey. And thank you very much for being with us on Hometown Alaska.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.